we're going to carry on the conversation around breast cancer into this part of the show, which is our science and technology slot nominally, because with me in studio is someone whose story overlapped with Helena's cancer journey. You heard her referencing Dr. Jenny Edge, and I've asked her to chat to us today about treatment options and particularly about differences between public and private sector experiences of breast cancer diagnosis and treatment. Jenny's is a name that I think many of you will be familiar with, but just by way of background, I can tell you she did her undergraduate medical training in the UK before specializing as a breast and endocrine surgeon at Stellenbosch University. And after many years in private practice, she's more recently shifted her focus to the public sector. She runs the breast clinic at Tigerberg Hospital. And Dr. Edge, thank you so much for coming in to join us today. Welcome.
It's a pleasure.
How does South Africa fare when it comes to survival rates of breast cancer?
We don't know.
Really?
No. So one of the points I want to talk about is the lack of data. And we have lack of data about how many people have breast cancer and all aspects of cancer management. So how many people survive breast cancer, we don't know. If we equate ourselves and look at literature that's around, a five-year survival rate of plus minus 40% is quoted in the literature, and that compares unfavorably with a survival rate of about 85% in the UK or the USA, and probably reflects an inequity seen between the private and public sector.
Okay, there's lots to interrogate there. Mm. What are some of the major factors that contribute to the inequity? A lot of it is to do simply with access to clinics.
And that's exactly what I want to really talk to you about, is access to all the aspects of treatment. So at Tigerberg Hospital, we see really quite a different group of patients to the patients that I saw in private for many years. And unfortunately, many of the patients have much more locally advanced breast cancer at the time we're starting treatment. And it doesn't matter what stage it is at the time you're diagnosed. What matters is when you start your treatment.
Okay.
So there are lots and lots of things in the timeline that we need to evaluate and look at. Now, we've started with many aspects of that in the last year or so at Tigerberg. And one of the things we started with is actually asking the patients themselves. And we've started off having a lot of exploratory conversations with mm-hmm. them, saying, what barriers to access have you had along the way? How can we help you? And what can we do that about? Mm-hmm. So along with collecting data to know where we are and how we compare, I can't give you survival figures, but I can give you data about presentation.
Yep.
And data is about treatment. We are also looking and saying to the patient, now, how can we help you? What are your barriers? And it's been very interesting. So if we compare similar questionnaires done in the UK or the USA, many, many women are worried about change in body image and the physical effects of cancer. Only two women mention that. Yeah. Half of our women have their major problem was transport.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as Alina's just been talking about stories, you learn so much from stories. And one patient said, you know, it's very difficult to get out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, leave your 12-year-old looking after your 4-year-old and go and have yourself treated.
Yeah, sure.
And that one sentence, you know, I mean, it really sums up the reality for many of our patients. So we have broken the steps down and we've looked at the different steps within a patient's journey to starting their treatment. And we've looked at where we can intervene to make a difference.
Okay, so the first step is somebody noticing that something has changed or is wrong or needs to be looked at.
Definitely.
Getting them from that point to seeing somebody at their primary healthcare facility is the first jump. And as you said, something as simple as access to taxi fare.
Important point is something that Elena said, which is sharing stories, patient stories with us. We try and get them to share their stories with the medical students. Mm. And I think as professionals, patient stories really have a resonance that we often can't get from somewhere else.
Well, I want to add one more thank you to that list, and that is to you, Jenny. I wish you could see the number of thank you messages for you personally streaming in on our communication lines from grateful former patients of yours. And thank you for being so generous with your time today. I know if two colleagues are in the operating theatre, I know that shows what the demand is on your time. So thank you for making the time to come through to the studio today.
It's a pleasure.
Dr. Jenny Edge.